Chat. It's Monday, the 1st of October, 2018. Welcome to the show. The last episode I did was about Bhakti Fest. It's an annual event held at Joshua Tree that features yoga teachers and kirtan music. And so the episode was featured an interview with Dharma Mitra and music from many of the musicians who were going to be there. This week, I'm featuring another festival called the Awareness Festival. And even if it started actually last week, September 27th, it does run through this weekend, October 7th. So I still have a chance to talk about it before it ends. Now, as you know, the show has been basically a live show on Kill Radio. And what I do is I usually record that show and create the podcast. Well, I'm in the situation now where the job I have doesn't allow me to be at the studio during the day, and getting there is difficult for me during the weekday evenings and on the weekends. So what I'm trying is a new format. What I'm trying to do is going straight to podcast, which means that I have to record the interviews and record all the intros and outros at home. So until I get a better microphone, we'll have to put up with this headset that I currently have. So let's pray for the best. Anyway, here we are, Awareness Festival. Like I say, it's a film festival that is held annually, and it's a fundraiser for Heal One World. So what I'm doing is I'm interviewing filmmakers about their films, topics that I feel are relevant to people who are in the yoga community, the mindfulness community, the meditation community. And so since I don't really have any music that goes with any of these films, what I've decided to do is play some new music that I picked up while I was at Bhaktifest. So what I have are two films that are playing at the Awareness Festival. The first one is Stop, Breathe, and Let Go. This was created by Tiffany Bellinger. And this actually screened last Saturday, 29th of September. But of all the films, it had the most to do with yoga and meditation and mindfulness. So that was one that I picked. The second film is called Skid Row Marathon. Why? I think it features a lot of topics that are very relevant to us today. Homelessness and trying to find a way to get out of the homelessness, trying to find a way to build your self-esteem. Is that a good way of putting it? Anyway, so that one is was created by Gabrielle Hayes and her husband, Mark Hayes. And that one screens on Sunday, the 7th of October. So like I said, that one is in the past and one is coming up this coming weekend. So I think it's still timely. Besides, a lot of these films are showing at other film festivals, and you can go to the websites to find out more about the film and find out where they're going to be screening. So anyway, Awareness Festival starts, like I said, September 27th and runs through October 7th. Before I get talking with the filmmakers, I want to introduce the first song that I opened the show with, and this is from Larissa Stowe and the Shakti Tribe. It's from their brand new album, There Is a Light That Will Remain. And the name of the song is There Is a Field. And the whole idea behind this song is that the lyrics actually come from Rumi. And let me read that to you. This is a translation by Coleman Banks. And this one is, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Larissa Stowe. Music is by Larissa. And the lyrics are from ancient poetry. So like I said, I have two interviews. What I'm going to do first is I had interviewed these filmmakers last week, and I had a busy week. So I kind of have to apologize about the show being late. But anyway, the first interview I have is, like I said, with Tiffany Bellinger. And so let's do that. I'll play the interview that I did with her. Then I'll be right back right after.
I'm on the phone with Tiffany Ballinger, and she is the filmmaker of this wonderful film called Stop, Breathe, Let Go. And of course, this being a yoga show, I had to find the film within the Awareness Festival that covered yoga, meditation, and mindfulness. And this is the one. So welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I take it that you've been either practicing yoga or meditation, and you somehow came upon, you know, people in your journey and decided to film them. Is that how the genesis of this film?
Close, not exactly. I was actually, I actually wanted to try something new. It was just on a whim. I was in Atlanta, and I went to a meetup called Soulful Breathwork, and I had no idea what it was. I was just, I guess, adventurous, and it was going to go. But it turns out I was in pranayama breathwork class, and the people were having all kinds of experiences. They were, you know, laughing, crying, blurting out statements, all kinds of things. My experience wasn't extreme as the other people in the class. It was my first time there, so I was, you know, I didn't feel too comfortable opening up completely. Mm-hmm. But when I left that class, oh, my God, the feeling lasted like 3 days. Like, anxiety was gone. I don't really consider myself to have a lot of anxiety, but apparently I had it and didn't realize it. I just felt light as a feather, and I was just feeling the love, and that lasted for like 3 days. And I was curious, what else is there like this out there? Mm-hmm. So that's how I, you know, got the story for my first film. I wanted to explore other healing practices, mindfulness practices that help people have that same kind of feeling to release tension, get closer to your true feelings, and so forth, with breath being the center, you know, connection for all of them, especially with yoga too. So that's how I got started with the film.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you been a filmmaker? Have you been making films before you joined that meetup?
No, at the time, I made a decision that I was going to, you know, pursue my lifelong dream to be a filmmaker. And I was, a couple of stories I had before that one fell through. They didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, at that meetup, I was, you know, that was like, okay, this is a story for my first film. This is it. So that's how I started.
Well, you know, when you're in a session like this where people are opening up and revealing, you know, what's inside, you know, their private thoughts and private moments, was it hard to find people who are willing to be, you know, come out on film and talk about themselves and let the film just cover what's going on?
Actually, no. I filmed about five different practices.
Uh-huh.
And each one, the instructors, the healers, or what have you, for each perspective practice, they brought their own people to the class. So we had the Yoga 12-Step Recovery Program. Nikki Myers, that's the founder of that program. She had her, you know, people show up, and Jordan from Breathwork had her people show up, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So what did you find out? What was the common thread among all the classes that you filmed?
Breath, actually. That's where I got the title for the film. Mm-hmm. In each one, now we're talking about, dancing mindfulness. That's founded by Jamie Marich. She's a therapist focusing with trauma, I believe, is her main focus. She probably does other things too. But just dancing freely, using your breath as the beat of your own drum, helps people open up and connect, you know, to themselves, and they're able to release whatever it is that is, you know, holding them back. So that was, you know, very interesting too. And then with the yoga, The 12-step recovery program, Nikki Myers, she's a recovering addict. I think she's maybe 10, 20 years recovered, and yoga has helped her because yoga mm-hmm. provides that piece that might be missing in the 12-step program, just being mindful, being aware, being centered with the breath. So that's what I think the pieces that connects all of these practices together. Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned the two classes. You first said, I think you said there were maybe five, and of the two, one was like a dance, a breath work, another one was a 12-step recovery. What were the other ones? What other classes did you cover?
Qigong. I had never heard of Qigong before, mm-hmm. and I've actually taken a liking to that practice. Qigong, what I found interesting about it is, you know, it's a slower version of Tai Chi, for those who mm-hmm. are not familiar with it. That really focuses in on your breath and centering yourself, and the practice is meditative. I don't meditate as much as I would like to, because mm-hmm. it just doesn't, I think I'm a 10-minute meditator. But Qigong, I can do that for like 2 hours straight, and the entire
wow.
practice is it's meditative, and it's using your breath with movement. So, and then, of course, at the end of that, I feel like I've just, you know, meditated or even been through a breath work, you know, class, because like one of the participants in the film said, you know, you do the work in Qigong, and then after the class, when you're out in the world, that's when, you know, the benefits pay off.
Now, I've never actually taken a Qigong class, and you said it's similar to Tai Chi. Now, is it a structured movement where you have to follow certain steps, certain sequence, and you do it that way, or is it pretty free form? After you learn the basic moves, you can put it together however you want.
I follow an instructor. The person in the film that I interviewed, Tajin, I actually attend his class. I met him, and we've actually become friends. So he's the only person I've practiced Qigong with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it on my own. I assume, you know, people, once they become very good at it, they can. But, yeah, it is a sequence that you follow. It depends on your instructor, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the instructor leads you with verbal cues and you're following along, or do you watch the teacher and follow what the teacher's doing?
He says some things, but you follow. You follow along. It's basically like yoga, how the teachers say things, and you mostly just follow along and mimic what they're doing to the best
uh-huh.
of your ability.
Yeah, because I've never actually taken the Qigong class. I've seen, you know, snippets of it maybe in films and stuff like that, but I've never actually done it. I actually have a friend who teaches it, and I'm thinking like, you know, maybe I should try that one day.
Oh, you never know. You might love it.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Okay, so what other classes did you have? That makes three so far.
So we have the breath work, dancing mindfulness, Qigong, 12-step yoga recovery, and the fifth mm-hmm. one is I looked at mindfulness in schools. What I found interesting about that, and I didn't actually film the class, that has very beautiful animation with voiceover and interview. So there was two people I interviewed, Otman Smith. He's the co-founder of the Holistic Life Foundation. He created
mm-hmm.
a course where actually, he didn't create the course. He created a program. They created a program that they have in schools in Baltimore. You have something called like the Mindful Moment Room. So
mm-hmm.
when students, you know, have a lot of undiagnosed trauma and so forth, and just stressors of life. So these students come to this room, which is like a mindfulness oasis, and that's where they practice breath, meditation, some yoga practices too. And they have, you know, made tremendous, you know, improvements in the school systems and so forth with just focus and anxiety and just behavioral issues and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this the other gentleman I interviewed, he's a high school counselor in the Bronx, New York, and he actually created a course for 10th graders to help them, you know, start them off with their mindfulness program, focusing on the breath, centering themselves, finding their alignment. So I thought that was really fascinating because I started school in New York City public schools. I didn't have that. But these kids get a good foundation of mindfulness and meditation and yoga, you know, in the school. I thought that was amazing. So that's the fifth program I interviewed.
You know, we've been around for a long, long time, many, many years. And so we had many opportunities to gather, you know, to go through traumatic experiences, whether it be in work, in marriage, if we were ever, you know, put out in the military. And so we have excuses, and there's a lot of reason to be stressed out and angry and all of that. But if you think about kids, you know, it's so sad that kids that young can be filled with so much anxiety, so much trauma. What were you finding that, you know, when they were doing mindfulness for kids in high school, generally, what were they experiencing that they were finding relief from?
Nick told me that he witnessed a lot of just the stress of the school, the school system he's in, or actually the school. The students have, you know, poverty issues, crime issues, foster care, just what have you. Kids come to school from all walks of life with a lot of trauma and just weight and anxiety within them, with no real guidance on what to do with it, you know, and that's why a lot of young people act out, and grown-ups do. But So I found that, you know, reassuring, just to know that the schools are changing now, and mindfulness programs are becoming more embedded in schools at a young age through high school. So I love that.
Well,
I love hearing that. I wish I had.
Well, that's. Yeah, because, you know, if we can get them early, to get them learning how to deal with the issues that they're going with, hopefully, you know, they come out as adults that are a little bit less traumatized, less angry, less anxious, less whatever, and, you know, the world will be a bit happier. Because it seems like, you know, we're just in a world right now where everybody's angry. I don't know if you're sensing that too, but you know, I was somewhere, and we were talking about why is everybody's reaction automatically anger? Why is everybody so defensive all the time? You know, all of a sudden, you know, why can't we just be happier and more accepting of things and more compassionate and kinder to people? It seems like everybody's building these walls, and it's all about, you know, what are you doing for me? What do I get out of this? You know, why don't you care about, why aren't you thinking about me? And, you know, we have to sort of reset our mindset. And, you know, this, you know, will this mindfulness work? And if it will, you know, why don't we do more of it? So, you know, you were kind of lucky that you came onto this breathwork program. Have you found a big change in your life since you started it?
Oh yeah. Just one key thing: responding to the world instead of reacting. A lot of us react. I think you mentioned that, you know, earlier. And I think it's learned behavior to react to situations. But just through making this film, you know, I've noticed that I respond a lot more and. You know, let a lot of things go and just don't react to every single thing. Actually, don't react at all.
You know?
So, and I hope I can continue that for the rest of my life. You know, that's hard. You know, we're all humans. We, you know, we have our moments, but that's a big key, responding to the world.
Well, do you find that when you are triggered to react to something that you just stop breathe and let go. I mean, this is the title
of
the film, right?
Of course. And that's the key. That's the key, you know, to all of this craziness, I feel. I've definitely seen it in, you know, people that I'm around, because a lot more people in my life now are in the holistic healing world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot healthier way to live, because it's just not going to stop, just the stressors of life. And if we can all, you know, respond to it and have a good base for, you know, connecting our breath to our body, aligning our breath to our body, and just, you know, calming down and not getting intertwined in things, you know, we'll all be a lot happier.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So were there any people in these classes that you were drawn to that you wanted to find out more about their story and, you know, what mindfulness and breath work did for them?
Yeah, well, the personal stories really came from the instructors, because everyone told, you know, a personal story. Not Nick, the one that created the breathwork class, but like Nikki mm-hmm. has a personal story, Jamie, everyone has a personal story. The people in the class gave their input on how the people in each classes talked about how their perspective, you know, path has helped them in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I am drawn to, I guess, physical holistic healing, like Reiki and so forth. Maybe that'll be another film or a short film or so forth. But this movie, I focused on internal breath.
You know, it's funny you were talking about the physical. I was recently at Bhakti Fest, which is a music and yoga festival, or yoga and music, I guess it's more yoga than music festival, out here in Joshua Tree. And I was chatting with some people, and there was one woman who said that she went for massage. They had, you know, a healing space where they had Reiki, massage, and all of those, you know, physical practices. And she said she went to get a massage, and the massage therapist, was saying, oh, you have a lot of stress in your hips, you have a lot of tightness in your hips, let me work on that. And as he was working on it, he was releasing a lot of anxiety, because, you know, it's been said that a lot of our anxiety is stored in the hips. So as he was massaging the hips and stretching it and working it, all this anxiety was coming to the surface, and she was thinking, oh my God, I can't deal with this right now. I have to be up and happy. I think she was a performer, that's why. And she wanted a massage before her set, and she was saying, no, I can't feel anxious before I get on stage and perform. So she had to say, wait, stop, you know, don't do that, you know, we'll focus on that later, maybe after my set or something like that. But, you know, it's interesting how, you know, you would think, you don't think about it, you know, massage, you just have a tight muscle, you work it in, but there's a lot of stuff stored all over your body that you're not even thinking about. So this is, I think, another thing about breath work. I ran into somebody who said that his back was bothering him. He went to a breath work class, and when he came out of the class, it's like the back pain was gone. And I said, wow.
Wow, yeah.
I know, right?
Amazing. So, yeah, and one of the things, you know, I wanted people to connect with it, with this film, is to, you know, get out of your comfort zone, try different things, because you never know what you may need to heal from, you know, that you don't even know about. And also,
mm-hmm.
different practices may heal you in different ways. So that's something that I learned through. Yeah, and I hope the message resonates with other people too.
So, how long did it take you to create this film?
I think I was in production maybe about 3 or 4 months, and post production maybe another 3 months. Yeah, so maybe about
mm-hmm.
6 or 7 months total to create it. Yeah.
So did you do research on the teachers who were teaching these classes? Was it word of mouth? How did you find, you know, the people that you wanted to film?
I was looking for people that I was looking for practices that were different than insight meditation and traditional yoga, basically, mm-hmm. because, you know, that breathwork class was the first time I've heard of that. So that's how I chose, you know, my classes. And also, I wanted to give a variety to people because, you know, just focusing on one class, that's, I felt like it would be more of a service to learn about more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for people, I was looking to connect with a younger audience with the film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I chose the people that I chose.
And it wasn't hard reaching out to them saying, would you like to be filmed? Would you like, is it okay if I have, you know, film your class?
No, everyone was really happy to be a part of it. And pretty much everyone I called said yes. So I was happy about that too, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So this, where was this filmed? You said you first took your breathwork class in Atlanta. So where were all these classes? Were they all in one city or were you traveling around to get this?
Yeah, I actually traveled. Dancing Mindfulness was in Ohio. Nikki with Yoga 12-Step Recovery, that was in Indiana. I met Otman in Baltimore. I did all this in one trip. Drove to these
wow.
different cities. And the Qigong and the breathwork class is in Brooklyn, the same location,
okay, so
actually.
Yeah. You were basically East Coast. You said you drove, so that made things a little bit easier.
Right, right.
You carry your equipment
yeah,
with you and you just drive as you go.
That's right.
So I
yeah,
noticed that there was some animation. Who did that in the film?
That was done by Aaron Bryant. He's in California, Berkeley, California.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
so what
the
was
animation, the... Oh, sorry. The animation, I think that's just the kind of storyteller I am. I like to mix different elements, you know, to tell a visual story. And I didn't have, like, a protagonist
mm-hmm.
through the film. You know, well, I was not the protagonist. A lot of filmmakers, you know, they would go and try these different practices and so forth. I wanted it to be a little different than that. So that's why I chose animation, because the protagonist is kind of the character that's
mm-hmm.
going and trying each one of these practices throughout the film.
Then it's easier also to get a drawing, you know, animated character versus trying to find the person and do casting and find a person who's who would be perfect to do all of that.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to just keep the production down, and you know, I didn't want it to go on for over a year. So that's, you know,
right.
that was another choice I made. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, since you traveled so much, you'd have to have that person traveling with you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, definitely, you know, more cost-effective. So when was this film released?
This is the premiere at the Awareness Festival. So
wow,
I finished
really?
This months ago. Yeah, yeah. So this is the first screening at the Awareness Festival, and more screenings will come in the next couple of months.
You know, the Awareness Festival has been going on for a long time now. When's the first time you heard about the festival, and, you know, how did you get your film in it?
I actually just heard about the film when I was researching, you know, the best festivals for this film, this subject matter. I live in New York, so I've never been to California, actually. This would be my first time going.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how... you know, I found out about it. So every film that has to do with, you know, awareness, healing, holistic wellness, mindfulness, that was on my radar. So,
mm-hmm. So do you just present it? Do you send a trailer or a screener to the festival and they pick which one and let you know if it's been accepted?
Yeah, there's a submission process. There's a website that a lot of called Film Freeway that a lot of film festivals are on. So as a filmmaker, you would search, you know, the film festivals you want to submit to.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just submit the film, the screener, and, you know, the trailer and whatever else you have, and then this the selection process, I have no idea. I have no idea how film festivals do it. I'm not on that side, you know.
Well, I know that she and her crew end up watching all the films, obviously, because they have to know which ones make the cut and which ones they choose. And they end up with so many films. I mean, it's, 11 days of just nonstop, you know, films. And I've been there, like I said, and I just go from screen to screen to screen. And a lot of times I'll have, you know, two or three screens, you know, showing something concurrently. And so there's a lot of films, and I find myself hopping back and forth. A lot of times there's some kind of theme to each block of films. And so I pick it. And a lot of times I'm watching a film, and then I find out that there was a film at the other theater that was even better. I said, no, I missed it. So, you know, right. I think, like I was saying, I was looking for a yoga film, and a lot of the themes that she tends to cover, that she tends to pick, or maybe this is just what's coming up, are a lot about healing trauma, but not necessarily through yoga. A lot of times it's just like talk therapy and stuff. And this is what you were talking about, that sometimes talk therapy isn't enough.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
So,
that's right. And just having that extra practice to make your healing embodied is so mm-hmm. much helpful.
Yeah. And a lot of the films are actionable too, right? So you watch something and you say, oh, I would love to help, or these are people like me, I would love to get involved. And so this one, the whole idea of stop, breathe, and let go is, you know, this could be your practice. If you find that you're in this situation, you could do this practice.
Correct. That's right.
And do you mention resources where people can find out about these classes?
That's going to be in the, it's going to be coming in the companion guide. We have more products, a companion guide and the DVD and stuff. We're going to have more information and resources there
mm-hmm.
on how people can start their own practice at home, or just a little history on how these practices got started, how they can have the practice in their home and so forth. You can just check our website and we'll have that available.
Great. Oh, speaking of which, what is your website?
My website is newwayfilmsnyc.org.
Does this start with the letter A New Way?
No, just newwayfilmsnyc.org. That's N-E-W-W-A-Y, filmsnyc.org, mm-hmm. yeah.
.org. And it is screening, let me see here, Saturday. Oh, this Saturday, the 29th, 5 p.m.
That's
at
right.
the Regal LA Live. So that's wonderful. Yeah, I blocked off Saturday hoping to be there. Like I said, it's 11 days straight, and it's just hard for me to get to downtown every day. So I'm picking and choosing the days where I'm actually going to go out, and Saturday's one of the days. I want to be there, obviously, because I want to catch your film, but also because it's, you know, early on in the festival, and I want to see what films are kicking it off. So when are you arriving in LA, by the way?
Saturday.
You're
there Saturday morning. Yeah.
You're going to go straight from the airport to the Regal.
That's right. I have other commitments. Yeah. So
when do you leave?
I wish I could stay the full 11 days, just the weekend. I'm flying back on Sunday.
Ah, so if your film wins awards, you won't be there to accept the award.
I can't. I hate it. I'm so disappointed. I couldn't commit the full 11 days.
Yeah. Well, I'll be rooting for you and your film. I hope it's recognized as it should be. So anyway, it was really fun talking with you, Tiffany. I know it's early in the morning for me, and I have to finish getting dressed to get to work. But anyway, it was, like I said, it was good talking with you, and I look forward to meeting you here in L.A. on Saturday, and I hope LA treats you well. I hope we have perfect weather for you and everything falls into place really nicely for you.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks, Joni, and I'm looking forward to meeting you too, and thanks for having me. Thanks for the interview. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll see you Saturday.
All right. Okay.
Okay,
bye.
That was my interview with Tiffany Bellinger, filmmaker of the film Stop, Breathe, Let Go. I actually went to the festival on Saturday hoping to meet her, but for some reason I missed her. I'm not sure if she did a Q&A afterwards and I missed that, or she was introduced before the film. I had somehow ended up in the wrong screen. I don't know why. I ended up watching a different block of films, and it's only when I realized I was in the wrong theater and ran over to the correct one that I kind of caught the tail end of the film. I'm kind of bummed, and I kind of bummed that I missed Tiffany, but I did make an effort to be there, and I did catch the tail end of the film, like I said. So anyway, that was Stop, Breathe, Let Go. Now, the next song that I'll be playing, is, again, I picked up at Bhakti Fest, and this one is from Nina Rao. Nina Rao has a brand new album called Anubhav, spelled A-N-U-B-H-A-V. And the name of this song is Shiva Maheshwara. And the surprise about this one is it sounds like a very traditionally sung chant, but there's a guest performance by MC Yogi. If you know MC Yogi, you know that he raps. So you'll get to find out what the spin is on this song. Here we go.
Shiva Maheshwara Hare Ram
Shiva Maheshwara Shiva Maheshwara Shiva Maheshwara Hare Ram
Shiva Maheshwara Shiva Maheshwara Shiva Maheshwara Hare Ram
Shiva Maheshwara Shiva Maheshwara Shiva Maheshwara
Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Hare Ram.
Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Hare Ram.
Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Hare Ram.
Shiva Maheshwara.
Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahadeva, Hare Ram.
Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahadeva, Hare Ram.
Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahadeva, Hare Ram.
Shiva
Shiva जगदीश्वर प्रभु महादेवा
Bound, held down by the weight of gravity, free by the grace of your royal majesty. You capture me and you set me free. Sky clad, wrapped in this tapestry of stars, illuminating the darkest part of my heart. I take refuge inside these arms. Your mountain seen in the lake of my dreams. Wrapped in this tapestry of stars, you illuminate the hell. Your reflection seen in the lake of my dreams. Jeweled rays emanating through bars of rib cage. Deep breath. Your reflection seen in the lake of my dreams, deep breath. May this stream draw me back into my
being. Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Hare Ram.
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 Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Hare Ram. Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahadeva, Hare Ram.
Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahadeva, Hare Ram. Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahadeva, Hare
So that was Shiva Maheshwara from Nina Rao. I really like that one. That was kind of cool. Anyway, that's from her brand new album, Anu Bhav. I think this was released earlier this year, but I didn't get a chance to get a copy until I saw her at Bhakti Fest. So anyway, the next interview I have is with Gabby Hayes. Like I said earlier, Gabby Hayes and her husband Mark created this film called Skid Row Marathon. And what they did is they followed a group of runners. Basically, the runners are homeless people who live at the Midnight Mission in Los Angeles. And I don't want to give much about the film because that's what the interview is about. So let's get to the interview. Gabby Hayes.
I'm on the phone with Gabrielle Hayes, and she and her husband Mark are the producers of this film called Skid Row Marathon. Now, you're probably wondering, what does anything having to do with a marathon and running have to do with a yoga show? Well, I'm kind of partial to this because I am a marathon runner. In fact, I call myself a marathon runner, even if it's been about 10 years since I ran my last marathon. But, you know, marathoning is near and dear to my heart. I will always consider myself one. And in fact, I've restarted running because I want to get back into it. So we'll see how it goes. But I can totally understand coming from nowhere, coming from not even running, barely walking, and thinking about running 26.2 miles. Now, I'll let her talk about it. So the first question I have for you, is it okay if I call you Gabby or should I call you Gabrielle?
Gabby is good.
Gabby, now the first question I have is, do you run?
Yes, I have been running since I'm 16 years old, but I have never run a marathon before.
Aha! But you understand what goes into running, you know, the discipline and the pain and suffering that sometimes goes into it if you have the sore muscles and the blistered feet and all of that. So, how did you first come across the whole topic of, you know, the Skid Row Marathon and the group from the Midnight Mission who run and who train for marathons?
We read an article in the newspaper in 2013, just before the LA Marathon in March, and we were intrigued by this judge who sentences people to life in prison on a daily basis, and in his spare time, he started a running club on Skid Row, like very early in the mornings, like at 5:30 in the mornings, he would run down to Skid Row and take homeless people from the Midnight Mission and former drug addicts and parolees to run marathons. And he would train them twice a week. And if they were, you know, if they stayed in the program and they stayed clean, he would take them on a trip to a marathon in the world, somewhere in Africa or somewhere in Europe. And we were really intrigued by this story because I'm from a communist country and I grew up in former East Germany. I never saw homeless people. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I was totally in shock seeing so many people living in tents and boxes and just sleeping in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the perception, unfortunately, here in LA is that, you know, people are homeless because they're lazy. They're living in a tent. They don't want to work. And all they're going to do is, you know, sit in the tent and do drugs and smoke and steal what they need. And that's the perception. So when you think about homeless people who actually say, I am going to run a marathon, I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to run. And then as you're watching the film, you realize many of these people have jobs too. And so the perception is, you know, why are they homeless if they have jobs? How can they find the time to run if, you know, they should be working? So what did you find out about the story? What were the stories behind the people in the running group?
I mean, my perception of homeless people changed while doing this project, and we filmed it over 4.5 years. And it was not an easy process. And, I mean, seeing these people having a running club that really runs very early in the morning before they go to work or go to school, it just gives them the friendship and camaraderie that they need. And just somebody that really shows them, look, I believe in you and you can do it. And it's the discipline. And if you just show up, like one of our subjects says, you just have to show up. That's all what counts. That, you know, you can achieve big things in life. And I think that was really important to us to show in the film that it's something uplifting. It's not something that people just living the streets or, you know, selling drugs, taking drugs. It's people that giving a second chance in life can do achieve big things.
Mm-hmm. Now, the judge himself, he was a runner before he started all of this, right? Was he a marathoner too? I mean, he'd run marathons before.
Yeah, he has been. I think he has run over 80 marathons. He started
when
he was 40 years old. So, I mean, he's a very, very accomplished marathon runner.
Mm-hmm. And so he just thought that, you know, because as the story goes, he's a judge, and part of his role is to dole out, you know, life sentences or, you know, long sentences to these to criminals who are accused of, you know, murder and, you know, burglary and all of that. And so he felt that the reason behind doing this is he felt that just he had to work with these people somehow and try to, what, rehabilitate them? Is that what he felt that his job was?
Yes, that's actually true. I mean, his job is really not easy. And he has a certain, you know, set of rules that he has to comply with. And when he has to sentence people to these harsh sentences, his hands are bound. I mean, he cannot do anything, but he feels in order to get a balance in his life, he can go to Skid Row and he can help people in a different way. And that fulfills what he wants to do with his life. He feels that people like that in downtown Los Angeles can have a second chance if you just reach out to them and show them your compassion and, you know, show them that you believe in them.
Mm-hmm. So true. So he started out with a group of how many?
He started out with about five people at the beginning in 2012, and now the running club actually has up to 50, 60 people running.
Wow.
It's actually what happened to the film is that people heard about what he's doing, and people from the community joined the running club and took over mentorships, like helping one person that has difficulty finding a job or another person helping them finding housing. So it's just making a small difference on a personal level has already helped a lot of people on Skid Row.
Well, that's the beauty of the running club. The fact is you have people who feel like they have nothing to live for and they're barely getting through, and then they find a goal. And the attraction early on was, if you stick with the running club, we'll go to a foreign country and run a marathon. I think that, you know, somebody will send you to a foreign country that you've never been to before, and you're going to experience what life is like outside of the country, and all you have to do is run a marathon. Of course, you know, I say all you have to do is run a marathon. That's 26.2 miles of running. And the first marathon the group ran was in Africa, where it was hot and humid and sticky, and all of them basically just collapsed at the end and said, oh, my God, that was the worst thing I ever did, or that was the hardest run I ever did. But they continued on, and they just felt that if I did that, then I can do more. And it just builds up, you know, self-esteem, too. And you also become an example to everybody else. So, see, look what I accomplished. You know, I didn't think I was anything, but I did this. And if you join the group, you, too, can do it. So, you know, all the way around, like you were saying, the judge gives people a reason to live a good life, you know, keep them off the streets, keep them off the crime, keep them off drugs, and so they don't end up in his courtroom getting sentenced to jail, so they can make a better life for themselves. Now, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole film, and I know you don't want to give out the ending, because the whole point is we want people to watch the film. So what is the, you know, the arc of the film? What does it show?
I mean, it shows basically two things. If you have the discipline and you show up and you run a marathon, you train for it first, and you can apply that to your life goals. You can achieve big things in life. And we followed four of the runners in the running club that achieved big things in their lives. And I'm not going to give anything away. You have to see it. However, there's also people that fall through the cracks. And that is sad. And that really, you know, it's hard to understand that there is people that will relapse. And there are people that will relapse. And you can only try to take them back in if they come back. And hopefully they will stay clean the next time. And continue running. So
these things are really important in life, that you have a goal, you train for something, and then you achieve the goal, even if it takes little turns here and there, but you can run a marathon and you cross the finish line and you see that you can hopefully maybe find a job and people will give you a second chance, that you will get a job, even if you had some really bad background. And the other side of the story is that we know that the homeless situation in Los Angeles especially seems so hopeless. And it felt, by showing this film, you can see that each of us can make a small difference in a certain way. It doesn't have to be running. It can be just reaching out to somebody or just taking somebody to coffee or just listening. And that is important in our society, that everybody is so involved with technology, their iPhones and texting and messaging. And if it's just a human touch, I think that helps to make a difference.
So the other thing is, I wanted to know, are there any action items that we can do to help out this specific group? Since we're talking about, you know, the Skid Row Running Club, is there anything we can do? Are they taking donations? And like you say, there are people who help mentor them, help them maybe run, encourage them to run, help them find jobs, maybe help them study for school, to get into school. I mean, what can we do to help out?
I mean, there are different ways of helping out. If financially it's possible for a person to contribute to the nonprofit organization that the judge started, it's skidrowrunningclub.com. It's a nonprofit, 501c. You can donate on their website, and he always buys shoes and running outfits for the runners, and that's really, really helpful because you have to have good running shoes. And on the other hand, you can also help by, if you are a runner, you can come and run with us on Mondays and Thursdays at 6 a.m. We meet at the Midnight Mission, and we run about 6 miles until 7. And just be part of the group and join us. And you see, maybe you find somebody you like to talk to or help somebody. And that's really important to us as well, that somebody just comes and be part of the group. And it can spread, and it has spread so much. And with the film alone, we have raised over $70,000 for the running club. And
wow.
It's just by showing it, people love the story. And we want to help the church grow this club and help people, you know, get a second chance.
You say us. So you run with them twice a week?
I still run with the running club, not as much as I could. I have a full-time job. So I still go maybe every other week. I run with them, and it's important in my life now, even though it is, the film is finished and it's out there at festivals. I still need to be part of it, and it completes my life in a way. So I think I could not be without.
Well, you know, one curious question I have is, you say that they meet twice a week from 6 to 7. Now, everybody knows that to train for a marathon, you actually have to run the distance, which means that you have to run 26.2 miles or somewhat close to it, so that when you're out at the marathon, your body knows what to do. So how do these people get their long runs in? Do they meet at other times of the day and just run on their own, or does the group run farther and farther and farther together?
Yes, good question. On weekends, especially on Saturdays, we do the long distance ones. We meet at 8 o'clock either at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, or we meet downtown, and we, you know, start with about 10 miles, and each other weekend we increase the mileage. So we do 10 miles, then we do 15, then we do 18 and 20. And then especially when we prepare for the next marathon, we really increase the mileage, and that really helps, you know, train for the marathon, because you really have to have the endurance.
So what's your next marathon that you're training for?
We are debating that we wanted to go to South America.
Ooh.
Since we have been to Europe and Africa. So we are planning a trip hopefully next year to go to South America.
Wow. Okay, so this might be a dumb question, but do you run the LA Marathon since it's a local race?
Yes, actually this year, March, we had about 20 people run the LA Marathon, and it was a great event, and it was beautiful weather, and it was just really nice. And especially it was hard because the group just came back from the Jerusalem Marathon the day before, or 2 days before, and then they had to run the LA Marathon. So it was quite a challenge, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. Who planned that?
I know, it was just overlapping a little bit, but we are planning to run also the LA Marathon again. Next year.
Oh, good. Okay, so as far as catching the film at the Awareness Festival, do you know what date and time your film will be screened?
Yes, Skateboard Marathon will be screening at the Awareness Film Festival on Sunday, October 7th at 4 p.m. at the Rieger Ella Life downtown Los Angeles, a beautiful theater. Love that one, and I hope you can come and join us, and we will have Judge Mitchell, Rafael Cabrera, and a few other runners join us for a Q&A after the screening.
That's awesome. They're all going to be there. And are they going to run there from Skid Row? It's so close by.
Yes. We will be there, and we hope you join us to see the film.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about that day, too, is it is the last day of the festival. So probably right after your film block, they'll probably give out the awards, won't they?
Yeah, that's true, actually, right after it's the last day. You're right, because that would be nice that we can all stay.
Yeah, so we should tell everybody who goes to vote, vote for the film so it wins an award. That would be awesome. That would be great. And I'm sure all the people who were in the film and who are part of the running group would just love that, too, to give them a sense of pride.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
It would be. Well, thank you so much, Gabrielle. I know you're busy with, film festival events, and actually the Awareness Festival starts tomorrow. So are you going to be attending any of the other screenings, or are you just going to show up on the last day?
Now, we plan to attend some other films and the filmmaker brunch also. So we will hope to come several times and see some other films as well. You have a very good lineup, and we would love to see some.
Okay, well, I hope to see you there. I'll be asking Sky Kelly to point you out so that
yes.
I make sure I catch you and congratulate you about your film. Well, thank you so much, and congratulations
yeah, thank
also
you.
To your husband, Mark, and everybody else who worked on the film. It's just good to know that, we do have a homeless problem here in Los Angeles. And it's good to know that there are ways that we can improve their lives somehow and give them hope to aim for something other than feeling that their lives have hit a dead end.
No, you're totally right, Joni. I mean, it's really, it just felt so hopeless when we moved here. And I feel now much more that maybe we can make a difference somewhere, and hopefully the film will show other people, maybe to get involved in one way or another, or just to be inspired. And that would make us happy.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you. Thanks again. And thank you for bringing the awareness of the Skid Row Running Club to all of us.
Yeah, thank you. And hope to see you.
I will definitely see you. I'm going to be there for that film. I'm going to make sure I catch that one. Okay.
Wonderful.
Thanks a lot, Gabby.
Thank you.
I'll see you on October 7th, if not before.
Wonderful. I'll look out for you. Thank you, Joni.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Gabby Hayes, and we were talking about the film Skid Row Marathon. Again, that screening at the Awareness Festival this coming Sunday, October 7th. At 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Now, Awareness Festival, the way it works is that they put the films in blocks. They basically have a couple of shorts followed by a feature film all of them are tied together with a unifying theme, whether it be healing, whether it be mindfulness, whether it be something about health, whether it be something about PTSD, and so on and so forth. So there's something for everyone. And the nice thing about the festival is that every film has a story to be told, a lesson to be learned, an action to be done, something to inspire you to do something to make a change. I love this film festival. So this is held, like I say, annually in Los Angeles this year, as it has been for the past few years. It's at the Regal Theater at LA Live. The website is awarenessfestival.org. You can buy the tickets online. You can buy the tickets at the box office. Like I said, it's still going on. So make it a point to be there. So I want to thank the guests that I had on the show, Tiffany Bellinger from Stop, Breathe, Let Go, and Gabrielle Hayes from Skid Row Marathon. I'll be ending the show with another song from another brand new album that I picked up at Bhakti Fest. And this one is from Katie Wise and the Bhakti Explosion. The album is Live at the Star House, and this particular song is called Making Krishna Love. I think it's from the name that you can kind of guess what the song is going to be about. This is sort of like a mashup of something old and something new. Song about Krishna, and it's a song about making love. The whole idea behind this album, and I think it's a stellar album because of that, is somebody that they know is suffering from a disease that currently is considered incurable. And so they want to raise money to help fund research, to figure out, you know, how to cure this, if it can be cured, how to arrest its development, how to slow it down. Whatever, it's a disease. I don't remember exactly what it's called. Katie had told me what it was. But, you know, thanks to the live performance that this was based on, they were able to raise a good amount of money for that cause. And so what they decided to do is create an album from it and have it professionally produced. So I believe the proceeds from this album are going to continue going to that cause. Oh, here it is. Please visit stopbatten.org. In fact, what I'm going to do is go to the website and tell you more about, our daughter Mila is fighting Batten disease, a rare fatal disease with no cure. With your help, we can give children like her a chance at life. So this is from Mila's Miracle Foundation, Stop Batten, B-A-T-T-E-N. Find out more about that. And so anyway, like I said, this is from Katie Wise. So I want to thank all of you for listening. You've been listening to Yoga Chat with the Accidental Yogist. I don't really have a permanent date nor time, only because I'm still trying to wrap my head around going straight to podcast. So these are basically getting created as I get around to doing them. Like, I've met a lot of musicians while I was at Bhakti Fest, and so there are a lot of interviews right there that I need to line up. There are some books that have been published, and I want to interview their authors, and I just, like I said, just have to get on a schedule. I'm not quite sure how often I'm going to do this. I don't think I can afford to do this on a weekly basis. I'm going to aim for once every 2 weeks, but for now, I guess a more reasonable expectation is once a month. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, so again, you've been listening to Yoga Chat with the Accidental Yogist on social media. I'm at Yoga Chat on Facebook. I'm at ayogist on Twitter and ayogist on Instagram. How to listen to these podcasts, because now it's only on podcast. Website is yogachatshow.com. I'm on iTunes, I'm on Google Play, and I'm on Spotify. All you have to do is do a search for Yoga Chat with the Accidental Yogist and subscribe. You subscribe, you get notified when the new podcasts are up and loaded. And honestly, that's probably the best way to find out when the new podcasts are finally there. What else do I have to tell you? I think that's about it. So here's the song, Making Krishna Love. And I will see you next time I do this show. Until then, be good. Goodbye.
Krishna.